At the second in our series on following Jesus. And last week we looked at the first of a number of statements from a card that many of you took from the back. So thanks for doing that. So if you want to pop that up there, Alyssa, the following Jesus stuff, and we'll read through these here. So some of you grabbed the card from the back. We're using this as our template. It's something our denomination has come out with. As I said, there's ones that have a bullet and ones that have numbers. So if you're type A, grab the numbered one. If you're a little, you know, freewheeling, grab the one with bullets. But this is by no means an exhaustive list on how to follow Jesus. It doesn't encompass the whole Bible. It won't keep you from sin. It's just a bunch of markers that can be helpful to you. Last week we looked at, I have begun to follow Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. So if you want to switch the slide there and have a look at that. Number two, I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow Him. I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitudes, behaviors, character. I am learning to love God and love others. I am learning the teachings of Jesus. I'm helping someone, and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. I'm participating in a community of followers of Jesus on mission to the world. Heavenly Father, as we continue to look at these statements, we recognize, God, thank you for people who are wise enough to pull together multiple scriptures and encapsulate them in some short phrases for us. Father, we pray that as we go through this series, you would be transforming our lives. That as we learn to follow you, there would both be those who begin to follow you and those who follow you more closely. That the product of all of this would be people, as Lindsay shared, who are passionate about worshiping and following you. Amen. So this morning we're looking at, I am being sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him too. Darrell Guder is a modern day theologian, and he says this: mission is the result of God's initiative, rooted in God's purposes to restore and heal creation. Mission means sending. It's the central biblical theme describing the purpose of God's action in human history. God's mission began with the call of Israel to receive God's blessing in order to be a blessing to the nations. God's mission unfolded in the history of God's people across the centuries, recorded in Scripture, and it reached its revelatory climax in the incarnation of God's work of salvation in Jesus ministering, crucified, and resurrection. God's mission continued then in the sending of the Spirit to call forth and empower the church as a witness of God's good news in Christ Jesus. What on earth does that mean? Let's look at some scripture. Maybe we can have a better sense. So we're going to go through a number of things rapid fire. You'll see the scriptures on the screen to lay for ourselves a theology of being sent. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3 says this: the Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Second scripture slide. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and this is from Matthew 4. He saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. And Jesus called out to them, come follow me, I'll show you how to fish for people. And they left their nets at once, and they followed him. A little farther up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father, Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving their boat and their father behind. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. You keeping up? Probably not. For every time I eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes. Matthew 10, 1 and 5. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Verse 5. Then these 12 Jesus, what? Sent out with the following instructions, etc. And in Luke 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out too, two by two, ahead of him to every town and place he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." So we have all of this scripture. We'll get to these things later. Here's what I want you to do. Take this, pass it through your section, shake a little on your hand, hold it, eat it, whatever you want. It's just a little bit of salt, okay? It's salt that's been evaporated from the Mediterranean Sea. I went there myself yesterday. No. All right, I bought it at Superstore. And so it's been evaporated from the Mediterranean Sea. This is much like what those fishermen would have on the seashore. So shake a little in your hand, hold it. You can take a few grains as we go throughout the service. We'll get to that in a few minutes. But all these verses, all of them, have to do with one word. The word is incarnational. If you're unfamiliar with that, let me read you Easton Bible Dictionary's definition. Incarnation is the act of grace whereby Christ took our human nature into union with his divine person, became man. Christ is both God and man. In other words, God came to us, and he both stayed fully God, but he was also fully man. We were praying about that this morning, and we can't wrap our heads around that. But fully God, fully man. God came to us and is one of us. He understands us. He gets us. That whole term incarnation means that. He understands us. He walks alongside us. Galatians 4:4-6, Paul says this. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent out the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. So let me recap this, all those verses for you really quickly. God sent people out on his behalf, really beginning with Abraham. So he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, and he said, you are my representative, and I'm sending you out to be a blessing to all people, so that as you bless them, they will experience my blessing. And when the right time came, instead of just sending out a representative, God came himself. God sent himself, his own son, to come and be a blessing to us through his death, resurrection, and ascension. And when that was finished, God sent his spirit. So now we've got both coming together. God's representatives on his behalf in the Old Testament, and when Jesus came, God himself. And he marries the two together through his spirit. And he says, I'm going to send my spirit to you, and my spirit's going to be inside you. So now what do we have? We have God's representatives in the world to bless others that they might experience God's blessing, but they have God's very nature, his spirit inside. It's not just a representative. It's not just an incarnation, Jesus walking in human form. It's God's very nature and spirit in us sent out. It's been his plan all along. Our modern understanding of this kind of a people is called missional. You won't find it in the dictionary. It's kind of a new coined phrase, but it's a great term. It means being on mission with God, being sent out. I'm being sent by Jesus to be a blessing to others and to, through that blessing, invite them to follow him too. So through my actions, through what I'm doing, I'm being a blessing. And through that, God will create opportunities that I can invite others to follow him too. Let me give you a few thoughts before we actually jump into Jesus' teaching. North American Christian church is weird. I think so. We're so weird. Okay, think about missionaries. Okay, those of you who've grown up in church or if you've got any idea what missionaries are, basically what they do is they go into another country, another nation, another people group. And the first things they do is they're immersed in the culture. They're learning the language. They're learning the customs. They live with the people. They're just amongst the people. And they take care of the physical needs first. Because good missionaries know that you can't speak about Jesus if people are hungry or don't have clean water or need food or there's injustice. And so they're immersed in the culture. They're getting to know the people and the language. And they're taking care of the needs. And they're blessing others. And at that point, God creates to build some opportunity, creates opportunities. And they can speak one-on-one, and maybe they'll start a small Bible study with a few people. And that grows and grows into a church. In the New Testament, we see Paul and others doing the same thing. They're missionaries. They're going all over the place and they're planting churches. They spend time with them. They work with them. They learn the culture. They understand them. And then through that, they begin to share Jesus and give people opportunity to follow him too. What do we do in North America? If you build it, they will come. Let's build a church and let's have a whole bunch of stuff happening in this church. Churches and programs in a church are not bad at all. But if that's all we have, how do you impact culture? So you've got this North American way and you've got this missionary way. And in Bible college, we're trained up. And, you know, we've got some Bible college students here now. And you either take your pastoral thing or you take your missionary thing and you learn different courses. And they're the same thing. We're called to do the same things. But we've somehow forgotten that we're to be his representatives everywhere. And so we find Jesus teaching in Matthew 5 a small group of disciples. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he calls these fishermen, as we've read, and a few others, okay, eight others, and he sits them down and he says, I'm calling you to something different. And if you're going to be different, I need to give you some basic teachings. We're going to start here. That's the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, we find in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. So you got your salt, put a few grains in your mouth. Does it taste different than your coffee or your bagel or the air? Okay, people over here, you might want to put the salt under your nose. We walked in this morning, and I think we've got something dead up in there. There have been squirrels running around our roof. We've been having repairs this past week. I think one of them got trapped. So thank you over here if you smell that. I'm sorry. You guys are fine. So salt. It's different. Maybe you smell something over there too. Salt is different. This is a different kind of a salt, though. See, salt was really important in that day and age. Salt was used for several things. It was used for healing and cleansing. It was used for preserving food, for flavoring food, for sustaining moisture, especially with soldiers out in the field. It was used as fertilizer. And even today, it's sprinkled when it gets old, sprinkled on rooftops that are made of mud and clay, and it hardens it and makes it a little more waterproof. Above all, it was used to preserve meat. And so the salt that you have isn't like kind of like the processed salt we have. It's evaporated. The water is evaporated, and what's left after a process is the crystals. And so technically, salt can't lose its saltiness. But over time, this evaporated stuff from marshes and the sea, it's not as salty. You would never want to preserve meat with something you left out in the rain, or it's less salty, because your meat's going to go bad. They're in Israel. Hello, it's hot. I don't want my steak left outside for 3 days without a preservative and then served it later. They needed to use this. And so people got that. They would understand this whole idea of being salty. It was different. If salt isn't salty, what good is it? So if a Christian makes no effort to be a blessing and be different and be salt in your world, your workplace, your school, where you get your hair cut at McDonald's, in church, wherever you are, then we're missing the point of God's calling. We're to be his representatives to the world. Jesus makes it clear that if you believe in him, you'll live like him. What do we think the term follow Jesus means? We be like him. If we believe in him, we follow him, and we do as he did. He continues, you, it's a proclamation, you are, not you might be, you could be, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all around to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Matthew 5, 13 to 16. Light is a universal religious symbol. Can you hide a city that's well lit? No. When we're driving on the same level, you can see the orange hue, you know, in the distance. You know you're coming up to a major city. If you're at a lower elevation than the city in front of you, it's impossible to hide. Same way, Jesus said, look, you're turning your lamp on, you're beside your bed, you're wanting to do some reading, turn that on. You don't throw the blankets over that and then say, my, how will I read? That's just foolish. You never do that. Light is meant to shine and get rid of darkness. We are called to be a beacon. So how's your light? Is it bright? We must be different if we want to make a difference. Ouch. Those words are a little stinging. Makes me a little uncomfortable when I hear that. I'm the light of the world. How am I shining? Some of you will sit there and think that because you're not living very well, you look at your life following Jesus and it's not in line, and you may think, I'm out. Doesn't apply to me. I can't do this. Few things get you back on track more than accountability and authentically living your life before others. Few things turn up the lumens, turn up the brightness on a life than saying, you know what, I haven't got it right. I'm not following Jesus well, but I'm going to, through his Spirit, as he enables me, begin to do that. And admit your weakness and your faults and your failures, and as others watch you over time and see your life transformed, that creates often more opportunities to invite others to follow Jesus. We are to be different. And that difference, that blessing, gives us opportunities. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he was a theologian in our century, was put to death at the order of Hitler because of his love for others, because he was different. He was salt and light in Germany and sought to take Hitler down and treat Jews with respect. He says this, "Flight into the invisible is denial of the call. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him." Followers of Jesus need to be lights in a dark world, showing clearly what Christ is like, because Jesus is the light of the world, and his followers must reflect his light. So I'm going to get Gary to shut that door back there. Go ahead. And shut off all the lights. All right? And put this to black, Alyssa, if you would. We often have a discussion when we start talking about missional church. You can go ahead, Gary. All of them. Out. Done. All right? We often have a discussion when we talk about the missional church. And we wonder all of them. Get them. Get rid of them. There we go. We wonder if Jesus' heart is for us to be internally focused or externally focused. You see, this is like Jesus, and we're called to reflect his light. Remember, we have his Spirit in us. We're to look like him. We follow him. When people see us, they should be seeing Jesus. Should we be internally focused or externally focused? You know what? When we are self-absorbed, when we only focus on us, our programs, our needs, what we're doing, you know what? And if we're following Christ, we do have a light. We do reflect it. But it's kind of like this one little piece. It only goes in one area. It still reflects. It can still be bright depending on how well reflective it is. But it's not as effective. It's not as effective as this. You see, if we are reflecting the light of Christ as a people, if we're moving together, we are many lights. But what we often think of is, you know what, being externally focused is kind of like that one light shining out. Being internally focused is, you know, we do everything through the church. It's kind of like this mirror ball. You're asking the wrong question. That mirror ball is like our programs. We shine brighter when we're together often. We have support. We gather together. But we gather together, why? We gather together because we want to scatter into our world. Each one of our lives reflecting Jesus. When we're together, it's unique. When we're apart, it's unique as well. And so you have opportunity. Let me give you an illustration, the Hallelujah Party. Hallelujah Party is a great night to be light on the darkest night of our society, I would say. And so I want to encourage you, by all means, come to the church and serve. Run a booth. Bring some snacks. Do something. Shine your light like this mirror ball that people walk in, they can't help but see all of these little mirrors shining, shining, shining. When you're greeting kids, you're saying, it's so great to have you here. How can I help you? What's your name? Where are you from, parents? I'm so-and-so. It's wonderful to have you here. You're a light. You're not just doing a program, throwing a beanbag, catching a mouse trap, whatever you're doing. You're Jesus representatives. That's valuable. But listen, it's the same thing if you're that. If you choose to stay home in your community, turn your light on at your house, open your door to neighborhood kids, and bless them with some candy and a warm smile, asking names and being the best house they've gone to the whole night. Give more than they've ever got. Be the warmest place. Walk with your kids outside. Get to know other parents. Get in your community. Find out names. Be a beacon of light wherever you go. It doesn't matter if you choose to do things in the church or choose to do things outside. The point is that together, we know that we're sent. You can hit those lights, Gary. Thank you. We know that we're sent. We have this sense that together, God has called us to something very unique. Reggie McNeil, a church consultant, says this: loving God and loving our neighbors cannot be fulfilled solely at church. Being salt and light cannot be experienced in a faith huddle. Engaging the kingdom of darkness requires storming it. So I'm calling you to four things. Okay? I want you to do one of these four things in the next month. How many things? Four. All right? We're getting good at this four thing. Hey, by the way, what are the four G's from last week? What's the first one? I heard the second one. What's the first one? Good. What's the second one? Guilt. Grace. Gratitude. Very good. Good job. Now you know how to share your faith. All right. So here's what I want you to cross. Cross one of these barriers. Cross your fence. Talk with the neighbor, someone around you. Just be a blessing to them. Do a random act of kindness. Invite them in. Spend time with others. Get to know them. God has sent you to your neighborhood. Doesn't matter if it's the people exactly beside you. Someone around you. Cross the fence. Cross your street, okay? Not just your street. Do something to connect with someone who you have relationship with, but you seek to deepen that somehow. Maybe it's a hairdresser. Maybe it's the same person, the barista you buy coffee from every day. Whatever it is, ask God to give you opportunity to deepen that relationship. Be sent. Have an intentionality about it. Cross a social, political, or ethnic barrier. Go to another religious place. Bible college students do that all the time. Got to go to a mosque or somewhere, not to take on their practices, but to get to know what other cultures. Go to an authentic ethnic restaurant, okay? Not order in Chinese food, okay? Authentic, go there, get to know the owners and their customs, ask questions and be a blessing and be salt and be light. Talk with someone who has a political view different than yours and don't fight. Just be in their space, okay? Cross the social, political, or ethnic barrier. Finally, cross your comfort line in relationship. Maybe you have some close relationships with those who don't yet know Christ. They're not yet following. They will. We trust. God wants them to. Ask God to help you deepen that. To open a door. Maybe you just need to simply do something. A very tangible way of blessing. Find something that's happening now. Most people say, I don't know where to serve. I don't know what to do. I'm waiting for God's call on my life, and He'll tell me exactly what He wants me to do, and I'll be a missionary when He tells me. You're a missionary right now. God has sent you where you are. You're in the classes you're in for a reason. Join a different club at school. Do something to get yourself in a space with people where you have time to be a blessing and be different and be salt and light. When God is involved, you don't have to be pushy. It's not about running your mouth and telling all about how great you are as a Christian. You wait for the opportunity. You use your actions first, words second. At work, God has given you that job for a reason. And yes, the annoying guy beside you who works beside you every day and you just can't stand, God has you there for a reason with that person. Ask God how you can be a blessing, how you can somehow have an opportunity to share. 1 Peter 3:13 to 18 says this. And this is in the Message. If you're not familiar with the Message, Eugene Peterson, a scholar from out west, paraphrased the Bible. And sometimes I really like the way he says this. Why do we do all this? How do you be salt and light in your home, in your community, at work, at church, whether you're doing church programs or volunteering somewhere or over your fence or wherever it is, everywhere you go, how do you be salt and light? If with heart and soul you're doing good, do you really think you can be stopped? Even if you suffer for it, you're still better off. Don't give the opposition a second thought. Through thick and thin, keep your hearts at attention. In adoration before Christ, your Master, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks. So did you catch that? Be involved, be available, be a blessing, be different. And when God provides the opportunity, be ready to speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy. Keep a clear conscience before God so that when people throw mud at you, none of it will stick. They'll end up realizing that they're the ones who need a bath. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to be punished for doing bad. That's what Christ did definitively. Suffered because of other sins. The righteous one for the unrighteous one. He went through it all, was put to death, and then made alive to bring us to God. You are sent where you are. You are a missionary where you are planted in order to bring others to God through your strong faith or your weak faith. Always getting stronger. Jesus didn't say, you will become my light. You maybe will be a little bit salty. You are salt and light if you simply follow me. We're going to partake in communion in a moment. I'll ask the servers to come forward at this time. And it's interesting how Paul gives instructions on how we do this. This is something that's open to anyone who is a follower of Jesus. You don't have to be a member of our church. But here's what Paul says as he gives instructions on how to do something that's reserved for followers of Jesus. Listen closely. Sometimes we read this and we miss it. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it." And he adds, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Do you catch that? Every time we do this, which is meant to help refocus our hearts and connect us again with the Father, it has this element and it has this element. We're proclaiming it. We're recentering ourselves on God that we can follow Jesus because we're already sent. God's heart is for everyone around you to know him. And he's given you a unique calling. So as we partake this morning, we're going to pass out the bread first. I ask you to hold it in your hand. We'll partake together. And the same with the cup. And the cups will be collected as we sing a closing song. I want to pray for us as we do this. And may your hearts not just be focused on where your relationship is with God, but may your hearts be focused on where he's planted you and sent you already. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus, sent him to die for us. And as we reflect on that, we thank you and we praise you and we ask that in our sentness, we would be faithful to you as salt